Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we come here before you once again and thank you for this day, this opportunity to come and open your book and study your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that was poured out upon us on this day many years ago when it was given, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of remembrance, the Spirit of discernment, your Holy Spirit that guides us and leads us. We thank you for it, because without it, we would fall short even worse than what we do now. But Father Yahweh, your Spirit is there to guide us and lead us, to uplift us and hold us, and to remind us continually. We don't have to give the sacrifices anymore. Yahshua was our sacrifice. And your Spirit helps us to remember the sacrifice that he made. He gave his life for our sins, and we thank you for that. And so, Father, as we open the book today, we do ask you to give us the words to speak. Bless the speaker and bless the hearers. And may it sink down deep into our hearts, into our minds, and he may carry us from this day forward to be better stewards of your word. And all these favors and blessings we ask in the name of Yahshua our Messiah. And we say amen and hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everyone may be seated. As we all know, today, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us. We've all read the story. We'll read it again this afternoon. But at this time, I'm going to discuss something a little different. We're going to discuss the sword of the Spirit. That is the title of the message. The sword of the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. But what is the weapon that the Spirit gives us? The sword of the Spirit. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. For our opening scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, we start in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of Yahweh. Servants, be obedient to them that according to the flesh are your masters, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as to the Messiah, not in the way of our service, as men pleasers, but as servants of the Messiah, doing the will of Yahweh from the heart, with good will doing service as to Yahweh, and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, the same shall receive again from Yahweh, whether bond or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, and forbear threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no respect of persons with him. Finally, be strong in Yahweh and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the evangel of peace, and withal taking up the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching for it in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in opening my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the good tidings, for which I am an ambassador in chains, not that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, that you may also know my affairs, how I do. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Messiah, shall make known to you all things. You know, we read this many times, and we know what the whole armor of Yahweh is. We say, oh yeah, I understand that. I know what that means. I have that. I have my feet shod with the preparation of the evangel. I have taken up the shield of faith. I'm able to quench the fiery darts. But what I want to show today, and I want us to look into this a lot deeper, I really want to know, and I ask yourself the question, what is the condition of your sword? What condition is it in? If the sword of the Spirit helps us to fight this battle and win this battle, what is the condition of that sword? The sword, in Barnes Notes commentary, I looked it up, the sword. And it says, the sword was an essential part of the armor of an ancient soldier. His other weapons were the bow, the spear, or the battle axe. And so he had other weapons, which were, the bow and the spear and the battle axe, those are some pretty powerful killing agents. But here's what he says. But without a sword, no soldier would have regarded himself as well armed. So if he's got all these other weapons, without a sword, he feels like he's just not ready. Do we take that as serious as we should? We have all this, that we say we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh, but is that sword, what shape, condition is that sword in? The ancient sword was short and usually two-edged. Of the Spirit, it's because it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which the Holy Spirit furnishes, the truth that has been revealed to us, that is the sword of the Spirit. That the word of Yahweh is furnished, and the Holy Spirit brings us to remembrance. Yahweh has spoken His truth and given us His promises. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12a. For the word of Yahweh is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. You see, the word of Yahweh is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So how could the word of Yahweh be of no effect if the word of Yahweh is sharp and active? How could it be of no effect? The only thing I can answer this myself was through my inability to use it. That's what we're going to look at today. Our ability to use the word of Yahweh, the sword of the Spirit. Yahshua, how did he defeat Satan, the adversary? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1, then Yahshua was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward hungered. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of Yahweh, command that these stones become bread. You see, the first thing he did was try to cast doubt. If. Yahshua knew who he was. Yahshua knew what his duty was. But the Satan, the adversary, says, if you are the Son of Yahweh. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Then the devil takes him into the holy city, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and says to him, once again, if you are the Son of Yahweh, cast yourself down. Then he quotes scriptures himself, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Yahshua said to him, again it is written, you shall not make trial of Yahweh your Elohim. Again the devil takes him to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then says Yahshua to him, get you hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. You see, Yahshua took the sword of the Spirit, which was sharp. It was very sharp. And he defeated Satan, the adversary. Can we do that? What condition is our sword in? Yahshua was very sharp. Ask yourself this question as we continue to go through this message. What condition is my sword in? How sharp is it? Do we make the word of Yahweh of no effect? Is our sword dull? I have a little pocket knife I carry. And periodically, I'll take it out to cut something with it. I cut anything that I'm not peculiar, picky about it. I cut wire or whatever. But it's not maintained. There's times I go to cut a piece of rope, and I might as well get a saw because the pocket knife won't do it. Why? Because I have not sharpened it. I can remember my granddad used